You may be seated. Well, it is a great privilege to be here today. My first time preaching at chapel. A great privilege. So glad to be here today to lead you in a study of God's Word. As Colson mentioned, I'm pastor at Christ Covenant, so I am a subscriber to the Westminster Standards, although I do love the Heidelberg Catechism. I noticed that Colson's copy was from the library. I think I'm going to have to buy him a copy for himself. Shame, shame. Let's turn in God's Word together to John 19. You see the two verses that we're thinking about this morning in your worship folder there. Hear God's Word. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, "To fulfill the scripture, I thirst." And a jar full of wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch, and they held it to his mouth. I suspect that very few of us here today would know what it means to really, really be thirsty. When I think about that, I think about a woman in my previous church that I visited. She was dying of esophageal cancer, had a tumor at the bottom of her esophagus at the top of her stomach, which effectively just shut off her esophagus. And so when I visited her, she had been unable to eat or drink anything for about 6 days. And when I visited her, she said to me, "Pastor, I am so thirsty." Her face was flushed, her lips were crusty, her tongue was sticky. She was breathing through her mouth, hoping that some saliva might form and her thirst would be quenched. None of us know what that kind of thirst is like, I suspect, but Jesus did. At the cross, he said, "I thirst." This was his fifth word from the cross, the kind of thirst that this woman experienced, that Jesus experienced, awful, dreadful. But there's something more about the thirst of Christ than that, more than just how awful it was. His thirst says something about his atonement. There's something atoning about the thirst of Christ, because his thirst was part of the completion of the will of the Father. Remember how Jesus said it? He said, "I have come to do my Father's will. I have come to do the food and drink that my Father has given me to do." And that's what we learn here in John chapter 19. Just three little pictures regarding this thirst of Christ. First of all, is horror climaxing. Because look what John tells us here in John 19:28. He says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, 'I thirst.'" John gives us a context. He says these words of Christ came after some things that happened, some very significant things that had occurred. Two of them particularly. First of all, there was the horrific physical anguish that Christ had suffered. So just prior to this, Gethsemane, betrayal, denial, religious trial, a trial before Pilate, mockery, beatings, carrying his own cross, the crucifixion itself, nails, thorns, spear, heat, physical exhaustion. And after this, you can picture it, can't you? After all of this, Jesus says, "I thirst." His body mangled, his flesh torn, bloody, sweaty. You can imagine, thirsty. "I thirst." But it's not just the horrific physical anguish that Jesus had suffered through, but also the horrific spiritual suffering Jesus endured that led to these words. Because if you think about the sequence of Jesus' words from the cross, this fifth word from the cross follows that cry of Christ, my God, why have you forsaken me? Those words capturing the hellish agony that Jesus suffered, bearing God's wrath, shouldering God's judgment for our sin, crying out to God, and only silence. One author said this, he says, not one sound in all the earth save one, the spilling of his blood as it fell drop by drop on the earth could be heard. Another author says this, these words, I thirst, could be called hell's aftermath. This is all that Jesus endured, leading to that cry, I thirst, horror climaxing, but secondly, Scripture completing. Here's a picture of Christ at the cross as a sympathetic high priest for us. These words remind us of the humanity of Jesus, made like unto us in every way except sin, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in offering himself to God. He hungered. He slept. He groaned. He was weary. And he thirsted. He knows our suffering, and he can sympathize with it. He's able to say to that woman that I visited, Jesus knows. Jesus has been there before you. He understands. You bring your thirst, bring your suffering to Jesus. A sympathetic high priest. But even more than that, I think what John is telling us is that he was a faithful son. Because notice again the words of John here. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scriptures, I thirst. These words are no random reaction to the pain and weariness that Jesus had been suffering. But these are scripture-fulfilling words. And of course, prompts the question for us, what scripture, what passage is Jesus fulfilling here? A couple of possibilities, I think. First might be Psalm 22:15. Listen to what the psalmist says. He says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. Here's the psalmist's thirst pointing to Jesus' thirst. Clear messianic psalm, and maybe this is the scriptures that John is talking about, because it's not only that connection between the psalmist's thirst in Psalm 22 and Jesus here in John 19, but there are other connections between the cross of Christ and this psalm. For example, you remember that the psalm begins, Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Another cry of Christ from the cross. Or John 19:24, a few verses earlier than our text this morning, quotes Psalm 22:18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. All these connections between Psalm 22 and what Jesus is going through. But I would suggest to you this morning, it's actually another psalm that Jesus fulfills, and that is Psalm 69, 20 and 21. Reproaches have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink. Here is a psalmist suffering at the hands of enemies, calling on God to rescue him, and the psalmist says, no one was there to comfort me. It's very much like what happened to Christ at the cross, isn't it, when the disciples fled and he suffered alone. The psalmist says, they gave me sour wine to quench my thirst, and so also they did Christ. But why this psalm? Why this psalm more than Psalm 22. Because John told us it was by those very words, "I thirst," that Scripture was fulfilled. In other words, those words, "I thirst," they opened up those Old Testament Scriptures and in Jesus' experience so that those words, "I thirst," what did they lead to? They led to this hyssop branch, the sour wine being brought to the lips of Christ. Those words, "I thirst," indeed led to the fulfillment of Psalm 69 in the experience of Christ. I think it's interesting the words that John uses here in his gospel. He uses the same word three times. You see the word "finished" or "fulfilled." Verse 28, "knowing that all was now finished." Or verse 30, "when Jesus had received the sour wine, he could say, 'It is finished.'" It's the very same word that is used, translated "fulfill" here. In other words, we could read it like this: to finish the Scriptures, Jesus said, "I thirst." What's the point? It's this: that in these events, even in his thirst, Jesus was completing the Scriptures and thereby completing the work that the Father had given him to do. It was the work of the Father. It was the plan of the Father for him to thirst, as the psalmist had done. And here Jesus is completing it all, even down to being thirsty, finishing and accomplishing everything that the Father had given him to do. A.W. Pink said every important detail of the great tragedy had been written down beforehand. James Boyce says it's almost as if Jesus' mind was running over all the prophecies of Scripture, checking them off to assure that everything prophesied concerning his life had been accomplished. Anything in Genesis left undone? No. Exodus? No. And at last he reached Psalm 69, and he calls out, "I thirst," so that the Scripture would be fulfilled too. Friends, this is why we're able to say that Jesus thirst is atoning, or this third point, life-giving. Think about that. There's only one other place in the Bible where we read about Jesus thirsting. It's in the same gospel. John 4, Jesus met a Samaritan woman. He says to her, "Give me a drink." And Jesus turns the conversation away from his thirst to her thirst. Talks about her having these five men and now a sixth man that she's not even married to. But then makes this appeal to her. He says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again," meeting her at the well. "But whoever drinks the water I give will become in him a spring of living water, welling up to eternal life." You see it? Jesus thirsted at Calvary, fulfilled the Scriptures, was a faithful son down to the very end, so that by faith in him, we'll never have to thirst again. He is the all-satisfying Savior for us. And so I wonder, as you come here this morning, are you thirsty? Maybe for good things, but with the wrong intensity. Maybe it's for a spouse, a ministry position, approval, academic acclaim. Fine things, but not if they're driving you. Come to him. Or maybe you're thirsty for more of Christ, more intimacy, more freedom, more joy. Come to him. Or would it even be possible that you're actually thirsty for new life in Christ? You've studied him but haven't surrendered to him. Then come to him. Let me end with these two scriptures. Isaiah 55, Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Incline your ear. Come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And Revelation 22, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Let me pray. Jesus, we thank you for your suffering and for your death and for your fulfillment of these words, I thirst, revealing to us that you completed everything that the Father had given you to do. Because of that, we're thankful that we can have life in you, salvation in you, and in you, finding our strength and hope in you, never to be thirsty again. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.